You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's RockAuto.com. I don't think this person needs much of an introduction, but he is the voice of Locked On Warriors, also a reporter for the Bay Area News Group, my former co-host and my current co-host on Locked On NBA. It's Wes Goldberg. How are you?
I'm good, man. We're not doing a Locked On NBA this week because we're running this special programming right now, but we found an excuse to talk to each other on a Monday anyway.
Yeah, you got it. And for those of you who haven't checked out Locked On NBA, shame on you, but go and subscribe now and definitely prepare yourself for the restart of the NBA season. Sorry, Wes, I know you weren't included in this, but the guys that covered the teams, the other 22 teams in the Orlando bubble, recorded some segments about each team, how the teams have changed since the season ended and back in mid-March, and what to look forward to during the restart. So that's definitely the best tool for you to kind of catch up, figure out what's going on and what teams you can prepare yourself for. Obviously, I was very complimentary of the Miami Heat, who I think have a pretty good chance of advancing in the Eastern Conference. And if they do, it's because they have some fantastic depth, including one Kelly Olynyk, who had a fantastic outing against the Utah Jazz back in Miami's second scrimmage on Saturday. 27 points against the Jazz, just doing it from everywhere, particularly from the long range, obviously, but he looked like he was fluid. He's had a great camp, according to Tyler Hero and Eric Spoelstra, who spoke after the game. And Spoelstra has been very, very consistent in saying that the team's depth, is going to be one of the biggest weapons as far as challenging other teams that might have more top-end talent and in the Orlando bubble. But we're looking ahead to next season, Wes, because you've already mentioned some possibilities about how Kelly Olynyk could join the Golden State Warriors. Why don't you clue in the listeners a little bit about what you wrote about most recently?
Well, the basic concept is that the Warriors have a trade exception that's set to expire in late October. They created it with the Andre Iguodala trade to Memphis. Iguodala coincidentally ended up in Miami. And so because the Warriors have that trade exception, they have the ability to absorb salary without sending any salary back. The Heat are in an interesting position where they have quite a bit of depth at the center spot, a little bit of redundancies between Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard. Myers Leonard is going to be a free agent this summer, and we know that the Heat really like Myers Leonard. Myers Leonard got the starting spot over Kelly Olynyk. They like what he can provide defensively as well as his ability to stretch the floor, and they're probably going to want to re-sign him. Not to mention you've got Goran Dragic, an impending free agent. Jay Crowder, they may want to re-sign as well. And I think right now they only have, what, $27-ish million in cap space. If you were able to shed Olynyk's salary, which is I think it's 12.2, but it's actually like a 13.1 cap hit against the salary. That would basically free up $40 million in cap space for Miami. More than enough, I think, to sign those 10 or those three players. And so I think Miami has a lot of motivation to trade Kelly Olynyk this summer, despite his play in Orlando so far. And I think the Warriors have quite a bit of motivation if they want to go down that route to acquire Olynyk, because Steve Kerr has been on record saying multiple times he wants to add a center to this group. And if you look at the centers that Golden State has experimented with this last season, they tried taking Amari Spellman, making him a center, floor spacing five. They traded him in the deal that sent D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota. And they had that weird Dragon Bender experiment at the end of the season, also trying to find a stretch five. They are clearly looking for a stretch five that they don't have right now. Kelly Olynyk would give them that, not only give them just that, but also he would be the best floor spacing five the Warriors have ever had. So I think there's a lot of reasons. The salary might be a little bit too much for them to want to take on, but with this TPE, I just don't see that many options out there, and so you could do a lot worse than Olynyk.
I mean, we talked about this. You obviously kind of asked me a little bit about Olynyk and some comments he had made, because back before the team actually went into the Orlando bubble, he was asked by Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel about where he was kind of coming from regarding the trade option. I'm sorry, the option year that he has in his contract. He's got 1 year left if he does opt in and chooses to remain with Miami, or he could opt out. And his comments were pretty vague. He said he really hadn't thought about it too much, but he understood also that it was, well, something that he'd have to consider shortly because the season's going to end and contracts are going to move on. He's focused obviously in the Orlando bubble, but that option kind of hangs over him and there's a big decision there. At the very least, he can opt in and continue to make money next season when there's going to be a lot of doubt regarding, you know, the salary cap situation and who's going to be making what and what teams, as far as, you know, their finances are concerned, who's going to have salary cap say. So he's somewhat safe, but he's also looking, you know, relatively young. He's looking to kind of re-sign with a team perhaps, or, you know, to sign a long-term contract elsewhere because this is probably his last best opportunity to cash in on a lot of money. I just don't see that there's much more of a ceiling for Olynyk than what he's already reached. And so I don't think it's likely that he's going to become a superstar elsewhere and then be able to get another big contract somewhere down the road. But as far as Miami's concerned, they're also looking at, you know, preserving salary cap space for the following season. And one of the methods that they'll probably do that is by signing those free agents, including Derek Jones Jr. and others, to short-term deals, one-year deals, maybe a balloon payment for Goran, Jake, Myers, Leonard, et cetera, knowing that they can bring in a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo or Victor Oladipo the following season and then kind of have more long-term deals in place there. And then shedding Olynyk's salary helps them with that immediate plan for next season and then, of course, the long-term plan with a Giannis or another superstar.
Right, because you're going to have to overpay Goran Dragic, for example, on a one-year deal, right? If you want to keep these guys, because there's going to be multi-year contracts out there for all these guys somewhere else. Like Derek Jones Jr. is a great one. I'm glad you brought him up. Teams want Derek Jones Jr. They love what he could do defensively. Like, that is a specialist that teams would be willing to sign to a multi-year deal. Miami obviously wants to keep him, but it might take, you know, several one-year deals to make sure that Pat Riley has that flexibility. It doesn't mean that those guys won't be on the Heat after 1 year. It just means that, hey, you're not going to have that long-term stability. We may try to bring you back with bird rights once we sign Giannis or whoever. But we have to sign you right now for 1 year because we need the cap space to go after Giannis. And so if you're Goran, if you're Myers Leonard, if you're Jay Crowder, if you're Derrick Jones Jr., you're saying, yeah, fine, I'll sign for 1 year, but it's going to cost you some more money because I might be giving up money, you know, later on, in order to help you facilitate this. So I think there's a lot of reasons there for not only for the Heat to try to get off of Olynyk, but to try to get off of salary. But again, the Warriors with this trade exception have one of the most valuable tools in the league, because there are going to be teams like Miami and teams around the league that say, even and especially now that revenue has been lost, that say we need to get off salary without taking anything back. And the Warriors have, I believe, the biggest trade exception in the league this summer. And so they can, that's if they decide that they are willing to pay whoever they absorb into that exception, they have one of the most valuable tools this offseason to help alleviate some cap concerns for a lot of teams.
Yeah, and there will be widespread concerns. That's a good point that you brought up there. And you know, you mentioned in your piece, you mentioned earlier, Olynyk is, I mean, he's really a really good fit there. I think just from a cultural standpoint, like he would fit Steve Kerr and that coaching staff and the rest of the team so well. I think he's a guy who would really blend in well from a locker room personality standpoint. And then on the floor, as you pointed out, he would just add a weapon there that they have not had. And this is going to be a team that is going to be very dangerous next year with the return of Klay Thompson, with, you know, Steph Curry back to full health, Draymond, possibly a top three pick in next year's draft. I mean, there are so many different things to look forward to from a Golden State perspective. And then Olynyk mentioned in that call that I had talked about earlier, he talked about considering proximity to his hometown, obviously from Kamloops, Canada, and that, you know, he wants to play with a team where he's a good fit. He wants to get playing time, and his playing time has been really, really up and down. I know he's talked about injuries, but he talked to me on Media Day, and I mentioned this to you, that he was really not upset necessarily, but he was very unclear about his position on the team last season when his minutes were getting yoked around a lot. You know, he was due for a bonus. He wasn't getting the kind of playing time that he thought he needed. And then all of a sudden he started getting that playing time later in the season. A lot of that kind of replicated this season as well. He talked about minor injuries kind of costing him, but either way, he's gone into the bubble now, had a great short camp. He's looked really good. I have concerns. Maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment. I'm here with Wes Goldberg. We'll talk about Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Herro, and the debut of a new segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Wes, I know you know all about rockauto.com, but I just want to tell my listeners again what a fantastic resource it's been. It's so incredible to be able to find all the parts that you're looking for your car or truck in one easy source. They've been using the internet for 20 years. It's amazing to think that this was one of the first sites that you could go on to get all the car parts you need. It's so unreliable to go to an auto parts store and see if they even have the part in stock. It takes so long. With rockauto.com, you just go to their easy-to-use website. You look for the parts that you need. You get them sent to you within days. I used it. It was fantastic. I saved myself hundreds of dollars by just going online, ordering the parts I needed, and doing it myself. It was so easy. And again, saving hundreds of dollars, especially in today's tough times with our economy, it's so difficult. You want to try and save money wherever possible. That's why rockauto.com is the option for you. Have you ever used your website, Wes?
I have. And it's great for people like me who, when I walk into an auto parts store, I have just like sucker painted across my forehead. And so I hate dealing with people at these places because I can't – even if they're amazing, like maybe they're like the best – maybe it's like the best guy ever. But I just think I'm being taken advantage of, and I know that that's not going to be the case on this because between if it's me or I have a buddy who fixes cars all the time. Like he just bought a new truck for fun, right, for like 200 bucks off of front end. That's just what he does, right? And I've like worked with him a couple times. I still have no idea what to do around a car. Like I'm lucky if I find the ignition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so just to know that – he could go onto this website and I can go onto this website and get the same part at the same price is very relieving for me.
I always think of George Costanza on Seinfeld going to a mechanic and always talking about how mechanic could just talk about any part. The Johnson rod needs to be replaced. Oh, sure, replace the Johnson rod. So, I understand exactly what you're talking about, but rockauto.com has done all the work for you. You just go on there, find the parts that you're looking for, reliably low prices. It's so great. And now if you go on to rockauto.com, you find a section that says, how did you hear about us? You just write locked on so that they know we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Reminder, listen, subscribe, and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite podcast app to listen to podcasts and that you always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. We're going to be talking about Tyler Hero, and we're also going to be debuting a new segment later on in the show. But we're kind of wrapping up our conversation here about Kelly Olynyk, and it makes so much sense for Olynyk to go to Golden State, but he doesn't, right? You know, he obviously doesn't have the choice. He's not a free agent, so he can't do that. Can Golden State afford to wait a season? I know. Will they have salary cap space the following year? I guess if he chooses to opt into Miami, and he, you know, they don't make the trade for whatever reason. They use it for some other player to alleviate somebody, another team's cap space. Will they have salary cap space the following season so that he can join that team as a free agent?
Probably not. No, this is going to be the most expensive. They're not going to. This is the most expensive roster in the league next year.
Right.
And so that is kind of to me when I'm thinking about realistic trade targets for this trade exception. Olynyk was one of them, but it's all predicated on the fact that the Warriors and their owner Joe Lacob, right, looks at this roster that's going to be that's going to have the most expensive payroll in the league and says, okay, I want to make it more expensive by up to $17 million. That's a bitter pill to swallow if you're Joe Lacob, who has lost, you know, 7 games worth of gate revenue, not going to the playoffs for the first time in a long time. You know, whatever other kind of cap infringements there are as far as, if the luxury tax apron doesn't increase or decrease based on, a smaller salary cap, et cetera. Like, there's a lot of things to consider. But if Bob Myers can approach Joe Lacob and say, look, this guy at $12 million is going to increase our chances of making it to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, I still think Joe Lacob would pull the trigger on it. And so I think Olynyk is one of those guys. You mentioned the fit there. I think it's a tremendous fit. Defensively, I think he could play the 5 next to Draymond Green. Draymond would alleviate a lot of those concerns. He's you know, a guy who's averaged 2 assists a game for his career, and he could probably get more than that if he's now passing to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson all the
without
time,
a doubt.
Too.
Without a doubt.
I think the fit is really good, but as far as the likelihood is, I still wonder if the Warriors want to pay a center upwards of more than $10 million a year, because they haven't done that in the Steve Kerr era. Right. They, and, you know, Olynyk's opt-in deadline, I believe, is October 17th, which is the day after the NBA draft, which is the day before free agency starts. The Warriors' TPE expires on October 24th. So that gives them some time. It gives them after the draft, and it gives them some days of free agency to determine, okay, if, you know, pipe dreams like Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka don't sign, you know, with the Warriors for that mid-level exception on a discount, right? And if these other players don't work out, then and if they can't find that floor spacing big elsewhere, draft or free agency or another trade, then maybe by October 22nd, October 23rd, they call up Miami and say, hey, how about that Olynyk deal? But that kind of puts Miami in a bind too, because they're not going to want to wait to re-sign all of their free agents. So I don't know if Miami would be willing to wait that long.
Yeah, and you know, from Miami's perspective, obviously Kelly has the right of refusal. He has the right to decide whether or not he wants to re-sign with Miami. I'm not sure what it would take at this point. He's talked about loving the city. I think Olynyk gives me the vibe of being happy everywhere. He's a small town guy, obviously. He doesn't strike me as being a guy who likes to get after. He's not interested in the party scene or anything like that, but he's fit in Miami just by virtue of, well, being a foodie, going to great restaurants, just hanging out, doing all sorts of things there. At the same time, I just wonder whether or not he's looking for something a little different now as he's reaching probably the second half of his career. I think he's already, I'm not sure if he's peaked yet, but he's probably towards the tail end of his career as far as his longevity is concerned. And, you know, he might be just looking for something different. And he talked about that. He talked about wanting to pursue a title, wanting, again, more fitting in the locker room, playing time, opportunity, all these different things that have been somewhat up and down as far as his role in Miami is concerned. And that's a lot due to his, you know, kind of inconsistent production too. He's had really, really good games like most recently had, but then the next game he'll have 0 points. And we've talked about this a number of times when you and I, years ago looked at Kelly Olynyk, and remember we were discussing that he was probably the least likely or had the highest trade value of any Heat player a couple of years ago. This was when Bam was stuck on the bench and we weren't sure what kind of player he's at. That seems like almost an eternity ago. And Olynyk's game has just continued to, I'm not sure if lessen, but maybe lessen in value is more appropriate. But from the Heat perspective too, I'm also curious as, you know, if Olynyk decides to opt out, what are their options for Miami? Because, you know, their depth obviously is a big strength of this team. If they, you know, assuming that they let Olynyk go, or if they accepted this trade with Golden State, then, you know, they're going to re-sign Myers more than likely, who's a good fit in Miami from a cultural perspective, even if he's not as good a player as Olynyk is. I think he's a better cultural fit here. He's probably going to be making less money also in the long term than
you don't Olynyk think. Is. You don't think Myers is as good as Kelly Olynyk? Because it seems like everything that I'm reading and, you know, I listen to your podcast and everything that, you know, I'm watching, it feels like Myers Leonard is better than Kelly Olynyk, at least this season. Like,
I think he's a better compliment. He's a better compliment to Bam, and I think that's why he started. And it's getting Bam the opportunity. And this is considering Olynyk-Bam pairings last season were fantastic and their numbers were great. I just think he's more – he gives Bam the opportunity to be more of a roamer on defense because he's going to be a bigger body that can not lock down, but at least he's a body who can stand in front of other centers and things like that. He's going to challenge them. He moves his feet okay. He's a little slow-footed, let's be honest. Olynyk is just giving up too much size. He can get blown by, or he's not always paying attention as far as perimeter-based defenders or offensive centers are concerned. So I think Myers is a better fit defensively next to Bam. And then Olynyk coming off the bench is just better because he spreads the floor in a way that nobody else does from the center position. Now as we're talking about next season, I know Miami has some interest in Harry Giles from the Sacramento Kings. You covered the Kings pretty, extensively during the last couple of seasons when you were based in Sacramento or near Sacramento. What are your thoughts on Giles? Because I know he's had a good season. I know you're not big on him, but.
The potential is there. He's a freak athlete. He's a nice kid, but it's just not there. You know, like I think the injury concerns are real. There's just not much there in his game. He's not a great side-to-side mover. When I say he's athletic, he just jumps high. Like, I think his best-case scenario is honestly what you've seen from Marquese Chris this year in Golden State, where, hey, just move vertically or, north and south and upwards. Play above the rim. don't take any jumpers, pass the ball to your better teammates whenever possible, and do your best on defense. And I don't know if that's a significant depth piece for Miami. He also doesn't provide a ton of size there. I don't know how much they need a pick and roll guy like Giles, considering that Bam exists. So, I think that, look, I think if you're Miami and you let Kelly Olynyk go, you should really lean all the way into Bam, you know, being a center going forward. And I love the combination of him and Myers Leonard. And I think you could do a lot with that as your starting. Like, you can win a championship, I think, depending on who the other guys are, if Myers Leonard is your starting center with Bam at power forward. But you're going to have to do a lot more lineups where Bam is playing center as opposed to Kelly Olynyk coming in or whoever. I don't know that Derek Jones Jr. is the answer as your long-term, you know, quote-unquote stretch four. I think if you lose Olynyk, you're looking for that long-term stretch four next to Bam, who could probably provide some spacing and some ball movement and some rim protection too. But that's where I would be going.
All very interesting stuff. I'm glad you brought some kind of West Coast-based perspective there, because I think a lot of people in Miami might not necessarily know too much about Giles or what he brings to the table there. And it's not a lot. I think a lot of people also look at Miami's history with developing players, and they think that they can take any player off the quote-unquote scrap heap and turn them into a reasonably good player. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it's also a point of contention that's been debated pretty extensively over the last couple of days on Heat Twitter. I'll talk about that in the next segment when we debut a new segment here with Wes Goldberg. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Kind of running out of time here because we've been talking so much about Olynyk and the possibility of him joining the Golden State Warriors at some point down the line here. But I did want to get into a new segment called Hot or Cold. Basically, a ripoff of something that you and I have been doing on Locked On NBA called Blow the Whistle or Play On, where basically we talk about different topics related to the Heat universe and whether or not they're worth talking about or whether or not we're just going to move on. But I also wanted to bring up Tyler Hero because he's been a very hot point of discussion, and I just wanted to get your overall take on Hero. He had a fantastic game against the Jazz on Saturday after a very bad game prior to that against the Kings just a couple days earlier. And I think there's a lot of optimism that he's going to be a superstar. And I kind of want you to get your perspective, because I'm going to devote a whole show to Hero later on. But right now, obviously we just don't have that kind of time. What are your thoughts on Hero?
Quick take, hot take, might be a little controversial. Your listeners might balk when they hear this, but Tyler Hero reminds me of Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So in the way that neither of them are a superb athlete, right? Like, they're not blowing you away with athleticism. And they just have this way of moving around the court. And they're moving at a different speed. They're kind of moving slower than everybody else. They're so patient. They're so methodical. They know exactly what spot they want to get to. And then they get there, and then they take the shot that they want. Kawhi offensively reminds me a lot of Tyler Hero offensively, which both – and like both of them grew up, you know, watching Kobe Bryant. And I think there's a lot of that Kobe kind of part of their game. Mm. You going into the draft process and everything we heard, like, people rave about Tyler Hero's footwork and all this stuff. Like, he's not just a shooter. And I think all of that has been pretty evident at the NBA level relatively early, like almost immediately. And I just, like, he's got the confidence to shoot from three. He obviously can do it, but it's not the only thing he does. Like, he just, I love watching him play, man. Like, he just gets to his spots. He's just, he's kind of playing at his own speed. And those, to me, those are guys that I always really, really enjoy watching. Luka Doncic is similar. Like, James Harden is similar when he's not just trying to draw fouls. Like, he's actually pretty fun to watch. Like, those are the kind of guys that is such a novel skill set that way I think we take for granted too much. And Tyler Hero has that. And that's why I think people, like, I don't know what his potential, I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if he's got superstar ceiling. If he could be one of the best 15 to 20 players in the league, that's a huge win for Miami. That increases their, you know, title hopes a whole lot. Maybe he can get there because he's got that skill set that is so rare and you see among guys that are sort of in that tier of NBA player.
Wow. I guess I understand your not from a stylistic matchup, but the kind of comparison you brought up with Kawhi is an interesting one, and there certainly are elements to that. He talked recently about CJ McCollum being a guy that he's
I thought about CJ too. Exactly.
He's kind of patterned his game a little bit as far as being a pick and roll ball handler kind of guy. And so we're starting to see different elements there. I think there's a lot of work to be done as a lead ball handler, but there's potential there. And obviously the confidence that you brought up is certainly evident. I mean, not just as a shooter, but a guy willing to take it. He took it at Rudy Gobert against the Jazz on Saturday, which I think is why a lot of Heat fans are very excited about Hero. There's a lot of different things there. Like, I mean, I've talked to you about it before. Nobody elicits more of a reaction from the home crowd, something that we might not hear anytime soon. But anyway, Hero by far gets the loudest oohs and ahs whenever he has the ball in his hands. Like, you're always excited to see what he's going to do there. So it's interesting to hear your kind of perspective on his timing and everything else there, because, you know, people are starting to become a little irrational about it. Like, they're saying maybe he's not worth trading Bradley Beal for, or, you know, that he's untouchable, that he's going to be a superstar. I'm not quite there yet. But at the same time, I do like his potential. I like his fit. I just also see his ceiling being more of a complimentary player rather than a superstar. I feel like I'm definitely in the minority as far as Hero is concerned, but we'll wait and see. But I did want to, again, debut the new segment, Hot or Cold, where we'll just talk about some of the recent news regarding the Miami Heat. And I think no news item has gotten much more buzz over the last few hours than the news from Brian Windhorst of ESPN that the Miami Heat may not extend Bam Adebayo this season in order to preserve salary cap space for the following season. Wes, hot or cold take?
That's hot. And it makes sense. I mentioned Kawhi Leonard at the top of the segment, and that's kind of what the Spurs did with Kawhi. They handshake deal. We're not going to give you the extension the year before he was due, but we're going to make sure you get it the summer that it is due. And that was in order to maintain some cap flexibility. I could see Miami doing the same thing. And honestly, they've built so much goodwill with Bam. Yeah. That trade to move Whiteside and bring back Myers Leonard, you literally got rid of the guy who is standing in front of Bam in the depth chart for a guy who, like you said, complements Bam's game perfectly. Right. Bam goes to the All-Star game this year. He's, you know, in line to maybe win Most Improved Player when awards are due this week. I think that there's enough goodwill there where if I'm Bam, I would probably be cool with that. And for the Heat, it makes a lot of sense. Like, they really want to go after, you know, Giannis and Oladipo and Beal and these guys. I think it would make a lot of sense for both sides, honestly, because if you're Bam, you want to win. You want to be on a team with Giannis.
Bucks and Wizards fans are already kind of jumping at this saying, ha, look, Miami has no chance. They're going to let Bam walk, and they're not going to be able to acquire Beal or Giannis or Oladipo or anybody else. Quite frankly, I agree with you 100%. I think it's ridiculous. I think any kind of lack of an extension would be with Bam's full participation and agreement. I think there is, like you said, a lot of goodwill there. And there's also the fact that Bam Adebayo shares an agent with none other than Giannis Antetokounmpo himself. I think you bring up really good points that they traded away Whiteside. They have been very, very complimentary and happy, and they know what Bam is. They have said it countless times. He is the centerpiece for this team moving forward.
There's no risk here either. I don't know why fans would be worried about that. Like, they're still going to have his restricted free agent rights. Like, there's right. no, like, they can match any deal that's out there. The only risk of not giving a guy an extension who can get an extension is that player demanding a trade, which is what the Bucks are worried about with Giannis. That's why the Bucks are going to offer Giannis an extension. That's why the Wizards were trying to get Bradley Beal to accept an extension. Right. That's the only risk. Bam is not going to demand a trade next year.
Right. No, I agree 100%. I think Windhorst brings up a good point. Some Heat fans are already saying, oh, Windhorst doesn't know anything. He's always wrong about this. I think it's interesting. I think it's a possibility we have not discussed enough. And you also look at this front office, you look at Andy Ellisberg's history and ability to kind of figure things out ahead of everybody else. And it makes absolute sense to me. Let's move on a little bit, because I think this is probably much ado about nothing. But the Heat were recently shut out of Bleacher Report's award predictions. Not just most improved player for Bam Adebayo, of course, but coach of the year. They gave that to Nick Nurse. Sixth man of the year for Lou Williams, yet again. For rookie of the year, obviously Kendrick Nunn is no longer there, but even Andy Ellisberg or Pat Riley were not included in the executive of the year decision. It was Sam Presti who they voted on. Wes, hot or cold that Bleacher would totally ignore Miami after having such a fantastic season by signing Jimmy Butler, by pulling off a trade that nobody saw coming from, by developing Bam Adebayo, for getting two all-stars on a year where they weren't expected to make a lot of noise. What's your thoughts on all this?
It's hot. I mean, I think the Heat deserve some credit. They are one of the surprise teams in the league. They're one of the most fun stories of the league. And to not have them included, I think it's Bam Adebayo and Brandon Ingram. It's a two-man race for most improved player. I've listened to both arguments. I think both of them have completely revolutionized their games in a way that is deserved of the award. Eric Spoelstra to me is definitely in the top three. I think that Nick Nurse should get a lot of credit. Mike Budenholzer has been on almost every ballot because the Bucks are so good, but I actually don't think Budenholzer should be in the top three on Coach of the Year ballots because I don't know. It's like, what does it mean if you just take your game plan from last year and just recycle it to this year?
Yeah.
Like, have you done a better coaching job this year? Like, I don't
know. I've heard some Bucks fans kind of argue the opposite, honestly, that he's done a worse job this season than he did prior. They've just gotten better over the course of time. Just, you know, Giannis has taken a step in his development, which is probably why he's the most valuable player.
Right.
But it has less to do with Budenholzer as a coach and more about the team itself just kind of performing better than they did the season before.
Budenholzer's job this year is the playoffs. The regular season is just, it is all Giannis. Like, he just, again, you just recycled the same game plan. I don't think he did, I think last year's coaching job that he did, and he was coach of the year last year, was, like, deserved, right? But not this year, because he just recycled the same game plan. Nick Nurse had to completely revamp his game plan without Kawhi Leonard. Eric Spoelstra had to completely revamp his game plan with a whole new roster. I look at Billy Donovan having to do the same thing with Oklahoma City with a revamped roster. He's got his team in the playoffs. I don't know why Budenholzer is just like this shoe-in. Same thing with Lou Williams. Like, maybe third on your sixth man of the year ballot, but he wasn't as important to the Clippers as he was last year. I put Montrezl Harrell, his own teammate, above Lou Williams on my own ballot. So, all that to say, and I think Goran Dragic is just as deserved as Lou Williams. So for Bleacher Report to have Lou Williams at number one and not have Dragic involved is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Goran's numbers are comparable, especially per 36, and I think that he's been phenomenal this year. I think most people who follow the Heat recognize that. I'm going to go the opposite route and say it's a cold take because, honestly, it's Bleacher Report, and they're often wrong about everything, and so I kind of disregard where their predictions stand. Yeah. That to ignore Miami so completely is preposterous, but I think it shows, maybe if not necessarily a bias, just kind of a lack of understanding. But let's move on. Another point that kind of took over the Heat Twitter sphere over the weekend is the discussion about where the Miami Heat rank as far as teams that develop players. A Raptors fan account looks like they kind of took some umbrage about Miami being recognized as a team that develops players so well and said that the Raptors are by far the best team to develop players. It mentioned some winning statistics over the last few years and, of course, a title last year, mostly at the hands of Kawhi Leonard. What's your take on this? Is it hot or cold? Is Miami the team that everybody expects them to be when it comes to player development?
Yeah, they are. Hot take. They are. And just now, you know, this is my first year as an NBA beat reporter and being around the league and talking, like, the respect among non-Twitter fan accounts, but among people who are actually around the game is immense for Miami's player development program. Everybody knows that you will, like, they're going to develop players the right way. That by, if you sign a player from Miami, that player will know at least how to play defense, right?
Okay.
Will know how to move the ball. There's going to be a culture fit there. There's a handful of teams, right? Like, San Antonio is one of them. Golden State is one of them. And Toronto, to their credit, is becoming one of them. Like, good for them, but they're not at the Heat's level yet. And so, right, you know, that fan account can just, you know, they could hang out in Jurassic Park.
I know you're a big fan of Jurassic Park. You know, or the shots anyway of Jurassic Park, especially during the playoffs. You know, I think it's so ridiculous because they've had success, as you pointed out. Their 905 G League team has been very good. And, you know, they've helped turn Pascal Siakam into a very good player. They develop other guys there. But Lowry was a pretty established player who's just gotten better over time. He's understood his fit. I mean, they won last year because of Marcus Gasol and Kawhi Leonard and Serge Ibaka. Those guys were not developed. This is not the same principle to me. I think it's just, you look at Miami's history of getting guys off the quote unquote scrap heap again. And, you know, Yaron Weitzman of Bleacher Report, ironically enough, was on this podcast last week and he wrote a piece about Miami's history developing players. And he mentioned that Miami's certainly up there as far as the best teams in the league. I think you can look at the Spurs doing what they do, which is finding, to me, they have always been able to find a player's weakness and somehow be able to ignore that and or kind of hide it somehow and find their strengths and maximize those. And I think for Miami, it's a little different. They kind of help, you know, kind of free the sculpture from the mold of clay here. And I think that's something that Miami has done very, very well. You take a look at Duncan Robinson. He was a fine player. And this was the subject of Weitzman's piece, was that, you know, Duncan Robinson was a good player, but Miami had a plan for how to take him and unleash his talents to become one of the best shooters, not just in the current NBA, but perhaps in NBA history. He's become a phenomenal shooter, such a reliable weapon for Miami. And I think that's what development is all about, is being able to take a player and just turn them into somebody completely different and better as a result. And Miami has certainly done that. They've done that throughout all of Pat Riley's tenure in Miami. To me, honestly, there's no contest. Miami has been by far the team that's developed players the best and most consistent over the last 20-something years of Riley's tenure. Not much of discussion. But Wes, thank you so much for helping clarify the point. I'm glad you took a little time out of your busy Monday to rejoin the Locked On Heat podcast. You know you're always welcome here. If you would be so kind, tell my listeners where they can follow you and your fantastic work.
Oh, just follow me on Twitter at WC Goldberg. I think I'm going to be tweeting about the Heat a lot more, given that the Warriors are gratefully not in these playoffs. So, really excited to get back to watching the Heat here.
Well, we'll have to have you back on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, let's do it.
Coming up later, I'll be recapping the team's third and final scrimmage as we gear up for the restart of the season, and I'll continue to bring you the latest info on what's going on in Orlando and around the NBA. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll get the latest episode of Locked On Heat or Locked On Warriors as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.
Yeah! Up, I don't think.